Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be learning more about a research project that Fuse Social is undertaking. But before we get into that, I think it's time we talk about hockey, specifically the Fort McMurray Oil Barons, as they are officially back in action. And joining me over the phone to talk about the first couple of games of the season is head coach and general manager Gord Thibodeau.
Maybe just to start off, Gord, first two games back after a long stretch off, had an impressive win in the second game. A little disappointing that you guys fell in a shootout in the first game, but 3 out of 4 points in the first two games back. Your thoughts on the return to play?
Well, I mean, just excited to get back playing. You know, you don't put a whole bunch of faith right now in the results. Obviously, you'd love to win every game, but we played very poorly in the first period of the first game, and that really set us back. We fought hard to get 1 point, but I thought we had a strong performance in the second game, and it was good to see us bounce back.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about that first period, you could say it's maybe, you know, anticipated just because of the long break that you guys had. Was it anticipated, or was it still a little frustrating that it took maybe a whole period until, you know, the legs started to really kick in?
Well, I mean, the long break didn't seem to hurt first group. Their legs were kicking in early. Probably the biggest. I mean, frustrating, but you know, we had two practices canceled that week, so we didn't have a lot of time on the ice, and it showed. We looked rusty. We looked like a team that hadn't faced, you know, an opposition that, you know, was finishing their hits and skating. And it took us 20 minutes to kind of figure out, oh, geez, we've got to be skating, and then we have to finish our own hits and do little things. And we did that in the second and third. And like I said, you're proud that they bounced back, but kind of a tough opening. But as I said, you improve every period, you hope.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when the season started late last year, and we were talking about the offense, and you were talking about really going to be needing scoring by committee. Maybe don't have those couple players who can put up a point per game player, but we have a lot of still good offensive players. And in the first two games, one player stood out, Hunter Lamb, 5 points in two games. I believe he was named AJHL Player of the Week. Your thoughts on his performance in the first two games, and do you think maybe he can carry this out throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter, that first line, Michael Hodge, Hunter Lamb, and Hassan Ackle has been really strong the whole way. Before you know, we were shut down, they were playing very well, and you know, they practiced very well in the last week, and obviously had a lot of scoring chances on the weekend. You know, we lost some players in the break here. We lost some older players that we would have relied on for offense. So it's more important now that, you know, the two 20-year-olds up front and Lamb and Hodge have to create some offense for us, because we've got a lot of young players that are learning how to be offensive players. So we need them to score right now, and that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Before I go into your upcoming games, I want to go back to the break. What were you guys doing to make sure, you know, the players were, you know, staying active? I don't know how much what you could be doing with all the COVID-19 restrictions. I know you guys were able to practice a little bit of time ago, but there was a stretch where it seemed like nothing was allowed. So what were you guys doing?
Very little, to be honest. I mean, the difference here, you know, this isn't Edmonton or Calgary where you have all your kids in one area. You know, we've got kids spread out all over the province and in, you know, BC and in Montreal, so you can't get them together. We did a little bit of Zoom meetings, and then you just rely on the kids to do as much as they can, whether they have workout equipment at home. Some of them, you know, can get to outdoor rinks. Some could, some couldn't. So it was really difficult as a group, but, you know, those are the same things that a lot of teams face, and you trust that your players will do as much as they can to stay active, and credit to them, they did. You know, when they came back 2 weeks ago, they were in great shape, and obviously everyone worked as hard as they could.
Mm-hmm. Were you a little surprised, or I wouldn't say surprised, but just, you know, happy that everyone came back and, you know, they were, you know, in shape, where maybe, did you expect maybe a couple players to maybe come back and need a little bit more time to maybe get back into game shape?
Yeah, we were very surprised, to be honest. You know, when you're off for 3 months, that's difficult for anybody, but especially, you know, mentally and physically for these kids, when you can't go to a workout facility, you can't go to a rink to, you know, to practice or skate. But, you know, they did as much as they could, and, you know, they really picked it up pretty seamlessly. I'd say after about third or fourth skates, you could really see them starting to get their timing back and, you know, starting to really push themselves a bit more. So, you know, credit to them. They're great athletes, and they're kids that really have a passion to play, and that showed, you know, what the conditioning they came in with.
I think you really touched on a good point, that it really shows the dedication that they have to the game, and it really, I think, it just shows that, you know, it's been a tough time for sports and for junior sports, and that they were just eager to get back on the ice.
Yeah, you know, it's about making the best of the opportunities you have, and, you know, we can sit here, and a lot of us, you know, certainly the kids, I think, have a lot to look at and say how frustrating it's been, but you have to overcome that and control what you can control. And our guys did a great job of making sure they didn't let, you know, the COVID stops and starts get them down, and then just controlled their own ability to work out, and it's a great lesson for everybody.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Gord Thibodeau, head coach and general manager of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.71. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Gord Thibodeau, head coach and general manager of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. And before the break, we were talking about the first two games back from the months-long break due to COVID-19, a shootout loss in the first game, however, a win in the second game, both of them against the Spruce Grove Saints. And Gord, before the break, we were talking about, you know, just this off time and what you guys have been doing. And specifically now that you guys are able to practice, we know from the province that practices can continue, but there was like a maximum of 10 people. Were you guys impacted by this, or were you guys able to have a full team practice early on?
We didn't have the ability to do that because, again, we didn't have our players in town. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Edmonton teams, Calgary teams could have 10 players on the ice and do some workouts, but we didn't have that ability. Our kids got here into town on February 21st. We didn't practice until February 28th, I believe, or March 1st. And then we actually had a couple practices shut down because, you know, we had a couple kids that had some colds, and we didn't want to expose anybody until we knew testing-wise that they were okay. So, you know, we had basically, I think, 6 practices before we played, and kids did as well as they could, and you know, they're obviously excited that we're getting to practice this week and get back at it at playing more games on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone will say games are so much more fun than practices, but would you say that people, the players were still eager to get out and at least practice, get on the ice together?
As excited as I've ever seen a group for practice. You're right. I mean, practice is the, you know, it's the tough part of it. Everybody wants to play the games, and that's the pinnacle and the ultimate for every kid. But like I said, we had a group of 25 extremely happy players to practice, and that's nice to see.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into your upcoming games, and you're going to be traveling down to the Spruce Grove playing on Friday and Saturday. Your thoughts going into these next two games? Obviously, you're going to know your opponent quite well. It's kind of like a playoff series where you're going to be playing 6 games. So what are you guys hoping to do in the first game to maybe come out on a good note?
Well, I mean, it's the first time in the building for a lot of these players, and a lot of newer players. So, you know, you're going into a building that's got a lot of history, a lot of championships, and certainly Spruce Grove plays a very tough style game. They skate real well. The biggest thing for us is kind of just to get our feet wet and understand that, we've got to move. We've got to move the puck efficiently. And primarily, we got to stay out of the penalty box. We got ourselves in trouble, I think, in the second game here, where we took too many penalties and they capitalized. So that's one thing we'll focus on.
Mm-hmm. And again, you mentioned that history, and over the past few years, Spruce Grove has been one of the top teams in the AJHL. Do you maybe tell your players, look at the last few games that we played against them? We lost in a shootout, but we did win in the second game. Like, we are good enough to play with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, every day you look at the standings, and we're 5-0-1, so we're good enough to play against anybody. It's about getting that confidence to understand that it's an expectation to go out and win every night. I think we're making that step, but that's the biggest part with younger kids. We'll have four or five guys in the lineup that weren't in the lineup this weekend, and we're going to make sure everyone gets an opportunity, and you want them to start to understand that, winning isn't just something that we do occasionally. It's something we expect to do every night.
Mm-hmm. Well, before I let you go, Gord, I want your thoughts on the return to plan, and specifically these cohorts where we have, I believe it's 13 teams that are taking part. Do you like this idea of the cohorts, and then play one team right now? There are proposals that the cohorts will be changing, and then you'll be able to play against a couple teams. Do you like this idea, or is it just one of those things where, as long as we're playing, we're happy?
Well, I like the idea that we're playing, and I think whatever we have to do to keep the kids and the community safe is paramount. That's the most important factor. Mm-hmm. So if we have to play Spruce Grove 30 times, I'm fine with that as long as everyone can stay safe. If they tell us that we can change the cohorts, obviously the players want to play as many teams as possible because you want to get different exposure to different styles of game. But as I said, the key element for us is making sure that not only our players but our community is safe. And if COVID dictates that we have to keep playing one team, then that's what we'll do. And we'll do it with a smile on their face.
For sure. And I think a big thing that's being missed here is the mental health aspect, too, where the players are, it's definitely, I feel like, a big boost mental health for the players and staff that they're playing, and also for the fans, too. I would say there's obviously the mob here are well-loved, and I know a lot of people are just happy to see them back in action and being able to, unfortunately, not go to Center Fire Place, but see some of the broadcasts, to see the highlights, to see that the fact that the boys are out playing again.
Yeah, I think it's important for the community that, we try to get back to, everybody wants to get a sense of normal back, and maybe this is a small part of that, and I would love to see minor hockey be able to do that too, because I know how important it is for the mental health of all athletes that they can get out there and do things safely and get back to what they want, that hockey that they all have a passion for. So I hope that step's coming soon. Like I said, if we can do our small part and put a smile on some faces, then we're extremely happy to do that.
All right. Well, Gord, I've pretty much taken a bunch of your time already, but is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
No. Thank you for the time, and thank you for the support.
All right. Well, Gord, thanks again for sparing a couple minutes, and best of luck on the road, and stay safe down there.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Once again, that was Gord Thibodeau, head coach and general manager of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. They are on the road this weekend, taking on the Spruce Grove Saints on Friday and Saturday. They're back at home next Friday against the Saints before traveling to Spruce Grove to play the Saints again on Sunday. After this, it's believed the AJHL is planning to update the cohort so the team is able to play more teams. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from Fuse Social about a research project they're undertaking.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Gord Thibodeau, head coach and general manager of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. Now I'm going to be handing things off to Mix reporter Steph Seidel, as she had a chance to chat with Shannon Rex and Christopher Cameron with Fuse Social about a research project that they are undertaking.
Hello, folks.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for joining me today on this sunny Monday. It's nice that the sun has come out.
For sure.
And so we have like something really exciting happening with Fuse. It's a new research project, but why don't you just run me through a little bit of what Fuse Social does in our community first?
Sure. So Fuse Social is a nonprofit in our community with the goal and mission of strengthening other social profits. So through education and development and supports we provide to local nonprofits to help strengthen them and further their own missions and visions.
Perfect. All right. So brand new research project aimed at social profits. Tell me about it.
Sure. So the project is called Profiling Fort McMurray and Wood Buffalo's Nonprofit Sector. And it's designed to identify active nonprofits in the Wood Buffalo region, the types of services that they're providing, as well as the community needs that they address. So we're hoping that it's going to assist us in supporting other local social profits, as well as giving the community a picture of all of the social profits that are available and that are active in the region. So our current estimate is that we have about just over 260 active nonprofits in the region. So we want to get a better understanding of what that landscape looks like and how everybody operates and helps to serve the community.
Wow, I had no idea there were 260 active social profits. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And what kinds of things do they cover? I guess you're going to find that out, but could you give me like a little snapshot?
Sure. So I can tell you that the project is, we've kind of broken it down into three phases because of the large number of nonprofits that we're hoping to connect with and gain information from. So we're looking in our phase one that just started last Monday. We're looking to connect with parents' councils, religious organizations, child care and preschool centers. Phase two will primarily include sports organizations, community and cultural associations. And then phase three will include human services organizations, different like pet service organizations, and then everybody else kind of who we haven't had a chance to connect with yet through either of the other phases. So,
okay. So you want to get the word out about what's available in our community. And I think when I think of a social profit, I just didn't really remember that so many fit under this umbrella, you know, the sports and the religious and the cultural, and then the serving agencies like the folks who help with people experiencing homelessness, and just so many things are kind of encompassed in that word.
Absolutely. Yep. And there's so many programs and services that are available to the community. And there are so many, you know, challenges that the social profit sector is experiencing right now, you know, with COVID-19 and, you know, we're approaching the 5-year anniversary of the fires and just kind of everything else that's going on. So we really want to get a better understanding so that we can share with our community the current needs and challenges of organizations, but also the ways that they support those in our community.
For sure. So we're calling it a pretty valuable survey. How is it going to add value?
Maybe I'll pass this over to Christopher if you wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Shannon. Yeah. And I think the survey itself, you know, nobody likes to fill in a survey. We all know that. It's kind of a kind of a path that people dread. But what we're thinking with our survey is that it's designed in a way that's going to really gather that information we're talking about here that kind of shows really the value of what each organization does and how it supports the community. And so we're hoping it's really kind of a showcase opportunity for agencies. And I think through that, we're going to learn a lot. And then what we're hoping to do is really you know, share that information broadly with the rest of the community so that everybody else learns what the other agencies that they don't work with do. And so through that, we're thinking there'll be some opportunities for some new, you know, networks to get built and relationships to get built. And I think, you know, what happens when that occurs is always that, you know, the community gets served better. And I think that's really what kind of this whole research project is ultimately about. So, yeah.
And you were saying nobody likes to fill out surveys. Is this a long survey?
It's not a long survey in terms of, you know, the overall volume, but there's quite a few questions. And again, we're trying to get a pretty robust, I guess, picture of what each different organization and agency is up to. And so so there is that. The other thing we would say, too, Shannon and I are very flexible, so we're happy to, you know, chat with individual organizations as well once we reach out to them. So if they don't want to fill in the survey, we're happy to do more of a kind of one-on-one interview as well and just kind of work our way through those questions and fill them in for them, right? So we've got lots of different ways we can go to make it easy on people.
Oh, cool. And when will the findings be released, or when does the survey close, I guess, first?
It's a great question. I think what we're hoping for is to collect most of the information, and then there's, again, quite a few agencies we're working with here, over the next probably month and a half to 2 months. And by the time we get to the later part of the spring, we'll have all that information together, kind of organized and ready to report back. And so we're thinking probably late spring, early summer, that information should be available for the whole community to take advantage of.
Wow, that's awesome. So how does someone fill out the survey if they are a part of a social profit and have the information they need to be one of those 260?
Yeah, great question. And did you want to take that one? Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So kind of in our preliminary research phase, we've gone through and created a list of all the social profits contact information that we have or that was available to us either on their websites or Facebook pages. So we do have at the start of each phase an email going out with links to the survey. It's also being shared on our social media pages. So if you haven't received an email, you're welcome to check it out there or to connect with myself via email, and I can get that link to you. We can also do it through Facebook as well, so the link will be posted there if the agencies are interested in connecting with our Facebook page to find it, and it's on our website as well.
Great. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll be hearing more from Shannon Rex and Christopher Cameron with Fuse Social, all about their new social research project profiling Fort McMurray and Wood Buffalo's nonprofit sector.
Once again, that was Mix reporter Steph Seidel speaking with Shannon Rex and Christopher Cameron with Fuse Social, talking about a research project that they are currently working on. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.